If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
With G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the Ad Man, and we are back. Yo, yeah, it's been another dope week in advertising. It's been a dope 2 weeks, you know, because I wasn't with you guys last week due to some unforeseen circumstances, but those are just unforeseen. They're not going to get in the way of the fun. But how are you guys doing, man? How are you guys doing in the studio? You know, in the agency right now, you guys have probably had your year-end function last week, or some of you, it's happening this week. You know, there are some people you can't look in the eye right now. It's nice, huh? So it's nice when you're having that tequila. Now it's awkward. Oh, man, but it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blacksmith, at B-L-A-X-E-M. And at cliffcentral.com as well. We're having a fantastic time. We're going to have a dope show today. If you follow me on social media, right, you'll know that I've got a guest with me today. In fact, if you also follow me on Instagram, you kind of know that, you know, the studio's been a bit lit before this. DJ Maphorisa was in the house, you know, like, I mean, by in the house, I don't mean that he was actually here. We were playing some DJ Maphorisa out there, and we were debating actually whether that track is going to be bigger than the Nomunye Pezgo Munye, but there's no debate actually, there's no such thing. It was actually quite dope. But what you also know is that Palisa's back. Who the fuck it?
Welcome back.
Yeah, Palisa, what's up? How are you doing?
Hey.
Yeah. He's back. So Palisa's back in the studio, and it's good to have her back. But my guest is also here, and you know, like I've been doing in the past couple of weeks, you know, let me just introduce my guest, and then let's get into it. You know what I mean? Let's not wait for him later. You know, and so you saw him in the videos on Instagram, and you saw him on my Facebook feed. He's here in the studio, guys. He walked here. No, he didn't walk here.
He could have
walked here. But Cheese is also in the studio today with us. Cheese, how have you been, my man? Where have you been?
I've been good. I've been putting out fires, but I'm good. I live to tell another day.
Is it? So Cheese is in the studio with me today. I don't even know if Cheese is on Twitter, guys. But wherever you can find him on social media, send him some messages as well. You know, wish him well.
I'm
thank
everywhere.
You for the you know what I mean. Thank you for all the guests that he's
your
made happen. your father at
I'm
Twitter.
Your father.
Yeah. But let's talk about the guy who's in the studio with me today. I mean, like, some of you might, you know, like he we were just talking about it now, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, how advertising am I really? And I'm like, nigga, come on, you know how advertising you actually are. But in the studio with me today, I've got Mr. Kutlano Ditsela. What's going on, Kutlano?
Well, how you doing?
What's going on? You, some of you might know him as Cut, the filmmaker.
Yes.
What's up, Kutlano? What are you up to, man? What do we pull you out of? What are we up to when we got the phone call?
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. I just jumped out the shower.
Yeah.
I just jumped out the shower on the way to meet with my business partner to discuss business stuff.
Yeah, business stuff.
Bonuses.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's that time of the year as well, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. So, but I mean, what I mean, we're gonna get into kind of the production house that you're an integral part of, Siriti. Is it just called Siriti or Siriti Films?
3D films. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna get into that, but like, you know, what like dope projects are you guys working on right now? Are there any things that are sitting on your desk right now that you're excited about? I know you can't get specific. I know you can't say names.
I mean, Tabang Muleya, my partner, and Leanne have been working on the commercial side. They've just finished up a 4TVC, which is pretty cool.
What, a 4TVC?
4TVC.
Okay.
Yeah, they just we started off with the Brothers for Life. Commercial, that was our first commercial. We started out in July, actually.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been cool. We shot about 5 ads.
That's dope shit. Yeah. Since July.
Yeah. Since July. It's not bad.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah, man. In fact, they're actually on the way to do another pitch today. So it's hopefully we close the year with another.
Yeah, man.
Great, yeah.
There's no sleeping here. They're all thinking, guys, production houses are closed, bro. No.
No, we're lucky.
Yeah, man. Well, it's good to have you in this too, man. I'm excited to be able to chat to you today. About all the stuff that's happening, you know, like everything that's happening out there, kind of your journey up until this place, and all the shit that you've been up to. Some people
some
might know.
So,
you see, that's what he's trying to do, guys. He's already trying to put a filter.
Yeah. Okay, I got some shit on you too, Greg.
I've got some shit on you. Don't forget that.
This is also what happens, guys, when you have people in the studio that feel like they know too much. But yeah, it's your boy G Man. Like, come on. It's your boy G-Man the Adman. Once again, hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blacksim. That's at BLAXCM. And yeah, let's get chatting, man. Let's get chatting. If you have some questions for Gugano, I know some people out there who know you, Gugano, will have some questions and comments for you. Everybody's out there, hit me up. Remember, once again, we got that WhatsApp number, 079-748-2090. Hit us up. Send us a WhatsApp message. Send us a message. Let's get chatting. So, you know, I think that it would also, like, you know, with all the shit that's happening, you know, advertising. I mean, I know the show is also about advertising and branding and all that. But I think that, you know, it'd be hella remiss of us to not talk about the Libya slave trade. You know, I think that I think it's a crazy ass thing. I can't believe, and I think most of us just can't believe that kind of shit is happening in 2017. You know, like, it's like I mean, there's so much being spoken about it. I feel like it's one of those things that we can't be speaking enough about.
Yeah.
You know, like how at some point we had, you know, when 9/11 happened. And it was on every TV channel all at once. You know what I mean? I feel like there's not enough of an outrage about this kind of shit that I don't understand how we still have other things on TV at the same time as this shit is happening. Yeah. You know, and like, and you see those, you know, those beautiful filters that people put on Facebook, you know, when all those other tragedies that ever happened. But this, for me, this feels like it's not even like a pray for situation.
Yeah.
This is like one of those, like, we need to get out there and make this shit fucking stop. Mm. You know, like, this is not a filter pray for France. You know what I mean? No, it's not that. And it's also not a situation where, I mean, we can pray about the situation, but at the same time, I feel like this needs to be like I don't feel like
it's unfolding as we speak. It's not in retrospect. Yeah. So
and we're not there. You know what I mean? And I feel
shout out to Samuel Eto'o though.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? So here's
I don't
thing.
Know which story is true.
So
though.
I heard that's fake news. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that he was refuting it. That he was like a plainy guy. Nah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's two stories. The one was that he gave money to every single Cameroonian
to fly back,
and the other one was that he's actually going in there.
Yeah. Look, I don't care what the story is. I think that what we, you know, we claim to be, and I say this every time these kinds of things happen, like advertising people or branding people or even storytellers, for example, we have this ability to turn things around.
Yeah.
We have this ability to influence brands. We have this ability to make people kind of see things differently and see themselves differently. I feel like, why have we not been able to tell the story as accurately enough for people to know and actually act? Do you think that it's just like, are we waiting for other people to, you know what I mean? Like what do you think it is? Go on.
You know, the crazy thing is that, like, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine from West Africa some years ago, and she explained to me her nanny.
Yeah.
The story around her nanny. You know, her nanny, as she mentioned to me, was given to her by her was given to her family.
What
right?
do you mean given?
Yeah, that's
like
kind
a, like
so
a gift.
I said the exact same thing. Like, what do you mean given?
You,
right.
Yeah.
So and basically, what she was like in their culture, in over there, you're given a helper,
right?
Yeah. Which of course you pay for her and everything.
Yeah.
But and how she's got a great relationship with her, right?
Yeah.
Where she, you know, this woman raised her, and then when she had a kid. Raised the
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were quite wealthy, so she lived a pretty awesome life. And
that's
I thought
right.
to myself, I'm like, but when you say given to it, like, yeah, she didn't work with anybody else
but us. Yeah.
And I thought, was she free to leave? And she's like, leave to go where? Like, hey, you know what I mean? And I was like,
sure. That's
so I'm like, we gotta talk
that's
about this given thing. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
and
man.
The story, the truth about it is her narrative is quite was quite positive. It's quite lavish, actually. Yeah. If ever you're going to be any kind of slave in that way, like, you know, that she lived in a very posh house.
Yeah.
In fact, when she retired, I know that the husband gave her like R1 million to say thank you for taking care of my kids and all of that.
Sounds like advertising. Without the million rand. Without the million.
But I suppose the crux of it is that, like, there's some parts of this world where that's like what we're seeing right now with this Libya thing is the umpth degree. It's like
we're seeing it at its absolute worst.
At its absolute worst. But I feel like there are other parts in this world, not just in Africa.
Exactly,
in different ways. You know, we're thinking that we're working with helpers and stuff, but in other parts of the world, this is it. You're in
That's
this.
Insane.
So when I looked at it kind of hit me back. So when I saw the Libya thing, I thought, shit, this is kind of.
I see where the market is here because
imagine that same lady, right, or somebody else from the same lady who doesn't go to the wealthy family, who goes to the not so wealthy family. Her narrative is not the same as this lady who got to travel all over the world all of these things, taking care of these kids. So,
I guess you're right. I guess it does come down to what the definition of slavery is, and I think that, you know, kind of at its most basic, the definition stays exactly the same.
Sure.
It's you have been sold to these people, you belong to them, and you can't leave, and you can't come and go at your own will. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're treated a certain way, and you're right. So once we start talking about treatment, that's when, like, you know, the lines start blurring.
Sure.
You know, because you know, if you think about it, there's a whole phenomenon of, you know, bakulisutu who work in South Africa,
and
the amount of times I've heard people say, no, but this lady like works like 7 days a week, right? And they're like, but what, she wants a day off for what?
Mm.
And I'm like, how's that different?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when she takes the day off, when she takes the day off, what am I doing?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's exactly, it's exactly the same thing. So maybe what you're, I think the point you're making is about, kind of, we need to actually kind of look closer to home as well.
Absolutely.
You know, that this thing takes different forms and different shapes. And I'll bring it back in a very tenuous way, that we need to look at what brand of slavery we think we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's also the simple helper that we have, and other people feel entitled to their whole time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come the weekend, this lady's been working Monday to Friday. Come the weekend, I still want to get out and do other things, and I expect her to be there.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't get the day off.
Yeah. Except Christmas time. Go on, let's leave it again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've just mastered the sense of branding slavery something different.
Yes.
We've just branded it.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, like Liena, somebody, you had a connection, because that's how people get these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get a connection as somebody in Lesotho, and I give that person R1,000. Hold on, I give that person R1,000. They put me in contact with someone.
Yes,
and that isn't that the same thing?
It's
exactly the same thing.
But here's the thing: there's free will in there, because even the person that you contact, you come to an agreement about how they're going to get paid, pay for the transport.
Sure.
So you speak to them. Now it's just like going to like a market.
Yeah.
I'm buying.
Yeah, but
give me three of those.
I'll take three of those. How much can I negotiate? These people actually have no say where they'll end up.
Yeah.
You have no say.
Where
you get to speak, what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Where else you get to speak to someone and they know they're coming to see you? You've also been validated.
Because we defended this thing with too much.
But I'm just saying, at some point, the treatment that happened might be tantamount to slavery, but the initial conversation, their free will to decide to come to you, because they also have to give them your address and all that stuff. You know?
Anyway, I think what we're saying is, but
that shit is
atrocious.
That shit is fucked up. It's fucked up.
And I think what makes, I think the point you were making is, what makes it hard for us to kind of get close to it and feel it is because maybe some of us are guilty of a certain version of it that we're waiting for. You know what I mean?
No, but on a bigger scale, where's the outrage? Like, this is modern day. It takes us back to, because there's other many movements. There's a lot of talk online about people being trafficked for prostitution, whatever.
Yeah.
This is just that we don't even know what they're doing, but it's happening on a mass scale.
Yeah.
It's not two or three girls being smuggled. This is mass scale. Yeah. It's a market that's in existence.
Those images are crazy shit, man. Anyway, cool. All I'm saying, guys, is that I feel like we should all be doing a bit more. We should all be a little more outraged. And
where's the media? Why are they not covering? Why are they not sending correspondents?
CNN is doing a whole thing. I saw it this morning. They were like, okay, cool, now we're getting in there. But it feels like we're not doing enough. That's all I'm saying about that.
Cool.
But let's carry on. Let's not dwell on the things that make us feel not nice. I think what did make me feel nice is that Miss Universe shit. right? Yes. I think that was pretty that was dope, man. Cool. I think David Lee Nell Peters. What's up, baby girl? it's G-Man, the Ad Man, from 11 till 12 every Wednesday. You know, come through. You know, we talk about branding. We talk about anyway. I think
the Miss SA brand.
You know what I mean? But I think it's dope though, because you know, like that whole thing, the whole pageants thing, has come quite a long way, right? Yeah. I mean, I think we all remember when like I said, the brand of pageants and stuff was a big thing. Yeah. You know, it's all like sit with your aunts and your cousins and you're all watching, like, you know, Miss World and all that shit.
They should bring Rich Forrester, remember that?
Yes.
Remember Rich Forrester?
Yes, Rich Forrester.
That's what's up. Didn't we host one? Didn't we host
one? Yeah, we did. That was Rich Forrester
came through. Yeah. And I think Prince came through as well. And he sang The Most Beautiful Girl in the World.
Yeah.
I remember this stuff.
We've got The Most Beautiful Girl in the Universe. Come on.
I'm just saying. Like I said, once again, shout out to Emily Nell Peters. I'm just saying.
Also, shout out to Miss Jamaica.
Yeah.
Because now we're seeing afros on the actual stage.
Before
there used to be they
got the weaves.
Yeah, the weaves.
Or the Donald Trump is out now.
Yeah, I can Donald Trump of it. And there's no weave person now, because obviously used to be a weave person in the back.
However you look, it's a positive thing.
But that's dope. But now you know, like it's a crazy thing. So I heard this other thing now. People are like, I can't believe we're still doing this stuff. You know, these pageants. And these are degrading to women, and you know, like, and I heard somebody talk about a conversation where they were talking about, because we can't like just kind of discredit the fact that these people, like, they won the genetics lottery, right? They are good looking people.
They look,
right,
in the mirror and they're like,
and they're like, yeah,
well, what happened? Yeah.
You know, and still win, and
yeah,
still
exactly,
win, right? Yeah. And we I don't think that there's a problem with us going, we're gonna celebrate that in as much as we celebrate the Olympic Games, right? The Olympic Games are like, you know, this is about
some people who have natural aptitude,
natural ability, and this, right? Because so just because there are some people who feel like they're overweight out there,
so
in the
you're
world,
saying pageants are the Olympics of beauty.
I'm saying, no, celebrating that, if that's allowed, why does this criteria that is based on physical beauty, why does that have like a whole thing now all of a sudden it affects how people feel about themselves? What if I'm saying, you guys are celebrating chess champions and I'm an idiot? Fuck you guys, man. You're not kidding about my self-esteem. You know what I mean? I just feel like the double triple standards that exist in, like, guys, don't celebrate that form of excellence, but you can celebrate this form of excellence. Yeah. You know what I mean? Anyway, I can celebrate the excellence all the time because we're this universe now.
Let's get into the show.
All right, we're going to get into the show. Anyway, that's a lot of shit talking for 24 whole entire minutes. So the Financial Mail Agency of the Year Awards happened last week, right? And a whole bunch of people that we know won. Right.
Friends of the show.
A whole bunch of friends of the show won. But I mean, I think I want to start at the very top, because FCB Africa won the overall agency of the year and the large agency of the year. I mean, get the fuck out of here. I mean, what do you want? You know? What's up? What's going on, FCB Africa? Hmm? And then, once again, I've always felt like FCB was kind of the new school version of a university of advertising, right? Because then you look at all the other awards that happened throughout the evening, things like the small agency. I mean, I say things like it's a really small thing, but like the fact that Odd Number, huge shout out to the guys at Odd Number once again,
all the way out in New York.
Yeah, the one small agency of the year beating out Fox P2 Joburg. Like those are guys that came out of FCB. Like Smooth Toilet kind of came out of the FCB system.
You came out of FCB.
And I came out of the FCB system.
What happened there?
School of excellence.
Like I said, yeah, mistakes happen.
Universities also have like guys who are there the whole, for like for a very long time. You know what I mean? You're in first year for 10 years. But then also the girls at Think Creative, Nkabiseng and Mukondi, also winning the new Broom Award. So I mean, that's such a big deal.
The ladies.
Like I mean, I think what really is cool is the, in fact, what we're gonna do is we're gonna be chatting to Nkabiseng at some point in the next couple of minutes. They are in a meeting. See, that's what happens, guys. Also, when you win new Broom. Yeah, you get phone calls. You're in meetings.
You take meetings.
So they're in a meeting, and then we're gonna have a chat.
You come out the shower, boy.
Yeah. that, That's what's up, son. But I mean, I want to ask you about this, Gugano. Like, how important is it, do you feel like, for like these kind of, I don't want to call them institutions, but that's what it seems like FCB is kind of like, right? Like, yeah. For people to kind of go, there are these places that keep producing people that kind of go and influence industry in different ways. And I know that there are a whole bunch of, like, other product, like, in like, for example, in like dramas and whatever, people call the SABC that, whether they like it or not, people kind of go, sure, you know, the SABC kind of, you know, yeah, it was my, just, yeah, was my way in and whatever. How important is that, do you think, like, for people to kind of have a big beacon that is like the university, so to speak?
I mean, I'm a product of BOM.
That's what's up. Shout out, BOM. Yeah. What's going on? Okay.
So, yeah, it's very important. I mean, all of my, you know, I came out of film school. I was arrogant as hell, boy. Yeah. I thought, boy, don't even know. I was like 21 years old, boy. I'm like, I'm going to make movies. You guys don't even know how to make movies. I went to BOM, met Tebo on my class. He saw the shit he was doing. I was like, okay, maybe I need to shut the fuck up and sit in the corner because I got a long way to go. I spent close to 9 years.
That's crazy shit, man.
With Tebo Amahlatsi, Angus Gibson,
Mahraf,
and 9 years later, I came out, started my own business.
Yeah.
And without a doubt, every single thing that I picked up
from that system is
in play today. Every single thing. So
that's crazy shit.
That's very important.
That's dope. But I like that you talk about that because also, like, you know, like I said earlier, I was talking to Gugano about, you know, like his hand in advertising. You're the guy that made Aye.
I did.
Right? Yeah. I mean, shout out guys too.
The advertising show that advertisers don't like.
Too close to the truth.
Yeah. No, exactly, because it kind of cut close to the truth. But you want to tell us kind of the background story behind that whole thing. I mean, for those of you that saw my cameo on that shit, I mean, guys, you know, the camera loves me, you know what I mean?
Day and night. Yeah.
That's so fucking stupid. Anyway, yeah, tell us kind of the background. How did IA come about?
So I kind of like had, you know, everybody always has a thing that always says, shit, I want to make a story about me and my friends.
Yeah.
And like, everybody thinks that their friends are cool.
Yeah.
I kind of was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it, actually. Yeah. And we needed a place to set it in. And we thought, where is loosely based on me and my friends?
Right.
Don't ask me who and what.
Let's move on.
To give you some clues, I did ask a friend of mine called Granted Toilet to come in and give me some advice. I don't know if you guys know him.
You got this anonymous shit down, Nick.
So I called a couple of friends together and kind of just said, you know, where's a good place to set this thing? And myself, Angus and Desiree started looking, and advertising kind of felt like a good space for rock stars. It felt like, you know, there's like a rock star attitude.
Yeah.
You guys feel like, and we're like, okay,
they know cool. about it. This yeah, yeah,
yeah. We've been to the movies. Lost the car too. Yeah, exactly. We literally woke up, had no idea where the car was. Remember that? It was bad.
I remember. But,
so we kind of felt like this is kind of a fun world. So we went to Mzansi Magic, pitched it. But what it really boiled down to was about three young guys navigating their journey to turning 30.
That's right.
And making big decisions and having to actually realize you are no longer being coddled. So in fact, advertising was supposed to just really be the backdrop. I think one of the things that we got wrong was we made it too much.
It went too far in
and actually needed to be more about these guys. So if we ever did a second season, maybe.
Are you pitching the second season?
Bona, it's too raw for TV, they say. But I'll get more grunts to all this, like, yeah.
No, then it gets dark.
Yeah, then it gets really dark.
Calm yourself down.
So it really was like, we're making these great TV shows, and I kind of felt like there was nothing on TV for me and my friends.
That's right.
And I wanted to make a show for me and my friends to be able to watch and to look at the shit that we go through because we are the people who had opportunity, but
that's right.
It doesn't mean because we had opportunity that our story can't be told. So that's when Aye really came up. It was about a bunch of guys who had opportunity and they just fuck shit up.
That's crazy shit. That's
right. Remember the opening scene was a guy pulling out a used condom from his back pocket.
Yeah. What's that guy in Pop Pops?
Yeah? That guy was SK.
Shout out to the homies Pop Pops, the homie SK, and the homie Tapelo Mokoen. What's going on? You know, like, but like you say that, you know, people like advertising people are like, hey, come on, man. Because I remember like my folks saw it and they're like, Sorry, what?
Yeah.
Is that what the fuck you guys are up to? You know?
I wanted to make a show that you couldn't watch in front of your mother.
That's what's up.
And like, my mom never watched
that. That's important.
My mom does not, my mom, she's not interested in that. She watched that first scene. She was like, shut up, my
shut. After the condom.
You go ahead and enjoy that. Yeah, yeah. After the condom and then putting on like, oh,
it's like
Asno
for me.
Let's get out of here.
Oh, that's crazy shit.
It's on Showmax if you haven't watched it, by the way.
Boom, boom, that's what's up. Yeah, go get it, guys. Check it out on Showmax. I actually think it's a really, really dope show. And I think some of you might support yourselves in there in more ways than one. You might in there.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I mean, and we're going to get back into that because I still want to chat about like your journey and how you're at where you are right now. But in some of the new stuff, I mean, I saw, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen the APSA, the new APSA swiping campaign, the swoosh, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's cool. It's like catchy stuff. Shout out Tippy Tang. And Tippy Tang.
Shout out Teboho Malope.
Shout out Teboho Malope. What's going on? What's going on? In fact, I have it on good authority that we might be seeing him soon on the show. Oh, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I'm working on it.
I saw this thing where on Twitter today, one of the prominent rappers was talking about, you know, I don't know why, you know, with all the authenticity and all the rappers that exist in South Africa, why Absa didn't go out find an authentic rapper to do the thing, right? And I was like, but wait a minute, you know, and I know this debate can also carry on for quite a while, because I was like, not everything has to be an authentic representation or a hip hop documentary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not everything has to be like.
You can't take it all too hard.
No, also when the ad itself feels like it's a parody of what hip hop culture is all about.
Just to bring it back, remember we did that with Reason on Aye. Yeah. So, in fact, Reason, exactly. I had a discussion like, are you going to play Reason? And then like, actually, there was one rapper out in the street. If you know him, if you grow up around Joburg, you know this guy. He calls himself a Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George.
Always wearing leather, everything. I'm the hottest son. And like, what we liked about him is like, every time he walked in, he was always like the epitome of like the not so great rapper. So Reason understood. So Reason's a very solid rapper.
Yeah.
Right? He understood. Like, yo, man, we're gonna take the piss out of it. And Reason was this cheesy guy licking his lips, pulling out the Vaseline, pulling out the neckline. You know, pants. Like, sometimes you gotta take a piss, guys. Right now, actually, every single thing, guys want to be so damn serious the whole damn time.
I mean, that's
some jokes, man.
You're absolutely right, dude. Like, you know, and that's also coming across in a lot of the ads that are out there. You know, like there used to be a time when people used to say, man, South Africans are so cool in our ads, we're so able to laugh at ourselves. But for some reason, we're in some strange place now where everything is a manifesto.
It's like a landmine. Yeah.
Everyone
is scared to do something that might put some people off.
But it's not even that. It's not even about not wanting to put people off. Everyone has just become deep. You know what I mean? Like, every brand's
the
deep
age
now.
Of being woke.
You know what I mean? And you know, I mean, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of having done an ad recently where I was like, you know, and whenever you, and that's fine.
Find yourself at a crossroads.
And that's fine. It's okay when I think some brands are allowed to do it, but not like, you can't be not beans
everybody.
And be deep. You know what I mean?
You can't be pissed off all the time.
Exactly. And you're all beans, my man. Oh, you guys, big beans. Why are you deep? I mean, you corn toast. That's all you do.
But for someone,
for someone,
the only
beans
of the deep.
You know what I mean? And
this is true.
But it is true. But at the same time, I also
I get it.
That guy doesn't want to be reminded of that. I don't think that guy wants to be reminded that this is my only meal today.
Yeah,
it's beans.
Yeah,
true, no, true, man. You know what I mean? And I feel like we're taking so much of ourselves like so seriously that we're missing. I'm missing that magic.
We experience it often on, you know, on TV side as well. Like people, South Africans, we kind of have to often be as what's
PC.
The word? Grit. It's got to be like, I have to be able to identify that when I go down to my winning, I might bump into those guys. You know what I mean? Like, things have to be like we can't go too fictional. And then, for example, when we, like, I remember in the early days when we did the Isibaya story with the Sangoma and everything.
Yes, yes, yes.
People were like, but Sangoma, I'm like, guys, it's TV.
It's
even if that never happened, it's just TV.
TV.
Like, no, you can't be putting nothing there. Like, South Africans have a strange relationship with television.
It's a world
like,
of make-believe.
We can watch dragons flying all over Game,
Game of Thrones.
Then you put a nail in somebody's head. No, you can't be showing. But guy, but you, it's fine. How does it make sense to put a nail in his head? It's fine.
Leave that TV.
How can you change to from Game of Thrones to this? Just go with it.
And watch movies, studies, when I went to my hand, 51 men. No one says now, ah, Mare, I span it.
How is he ducking all them bullets?
All them bullets, yeah, awesome.
Because it's theory.
No, No, but absolutely. I think that, you know, like, we also need to start understanding all that shit. Yeah. You know, like, and as you said, we kind of exist in that place where we are able to deliver these messages to people, whether you're a rapper or whether you're an ad guy or TV drama guy. But kind of loosen up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like I said, because not everything is a documentary. No. You know what I mean? So, our friend Tumi of the Volume was like, no, guys, I feel like this thing is not authentic enough. My man, I'm a feeling fit. It's fine. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. We're still hanging out in the studio with Mr. Kutlwano Ditsele. Like I said, hit us up if you have any comments, any questions for the guy. Let's chat, man. Let's talk about it. So I want to go all the way back, Kutlwano, yeah. Right? To kind of, you know, am I gonna say Maftan? Is that as far as I'm going?
You can go back to Maftan, yeah, all the way to Maftan.
All the way back to Maftan, right? Yeah. And you know, it feels like I had Musito here in the studio a couple of months ago. Shout out Musito, also doing some big things out there in NYC. But he was out there, you know, talking about, I asked him about, kind of, it feels like you guys grew up in an environment that almost was demanding of you guys to be amazing in the arts. You know what I mean? Like, it almost feels like that shit, like, between you guys and the music guys and all that, like, it almost, like, you had to be amazing at this
shit. Shout out Lucas Mangope. Give me a clap, please. You know, my parents both worked in radio and TV,
right,
in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's where they met. That's where my mom always has this place, like, that's where you were conceived. I'm like, chill. Yeah.
That's the story. Stop right there.
Relax. I didn't need to know all of that. I'm here now. That's what matters. I'm here now. That's the most important thing. So every time we go to Mavic Games, she always tells me exactly where they all used to stay. I'm like, cool. Yeah, I got you. Now. It's enough. But you know, there's something special about Mafia King. I don't know. There was a level of freedom. I don't even know what.
Yeah.
So we were doing some work for Bomb, and Angus. I drove down with Angus.
Yeah.
To Mafia King, and I just kind of like took him around, and he mentioned something, and he's like, "But this is all suburbs."
Yeah.
And I was like, Yeah. And I realized, I'm like, oh shit, these houses have actually been there. Unit 6. These houses have been there since.
Right.
That's all I remember. Yeah, like, these houses. So, like, exactly, since Mega City. Yeah. So she's like, you guys, like, were in burbs. So, like, when you come to Joburg, you weren't seeing anything new. So, Jimmy come to Joburg, like, this is what we know.
So the difference between, like, what we were calling townships. Yeah, and you guys were living,
we had proper burbs. Like, yeah, exactly. There were proper cribs there that are still standing from the 80s that will put some cribs in Joburg to shame. Like, hey. Sit down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And so that's where it all started for you. It kind of, you know, in this freedom.
The romantic version of it is that I like to think that my mother was on set while she was pregnant with me, and I was listening in. And I was saying, I might want to do this.
Yeah.
But you know, from Mafia Gang, we moved to
Bob TV to, played a role in that.
Absolutely. From Mafia Gang, we then moved to Mabopane. Strange enough. And the weirdest thing is that in Mabopane, just as luck would have it, you know, whatever wants you just follows you.
Yeah.
There was maybe four streets away from where we lived. There was a TV show that they were shooting over there in the 80s. And our neighbor was an actor.
Right.
On that show, Yabong Kwesheng.
So
they were like, as a little kid, I used to be that kid on the set.
Seven years old,
watching everybody. Yeah. So it just kind of felt like it followed me everywhere I went. You know what I mean?
You were those kids that we experienced on set.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, get this kid out of here. It works out eventually, it seems.
That's so dope, man. Yeah. And then coming out of Mabopane, and then you were like, damn it, I'm going to go through all of high school, or all of school, still thinking about this thing.
Do you know what the thing is that... It was weird to identify, I suppose, then, because you're talking in the 90s, right?
But
really, all I was I just thought I was a liar.
Yeah.
So I'm like, boy,
I'm a great liar.
I can't stop lying. Like, I just love telling stories. And for me,
because I know exactly what you mean.
From one liar to another.
So I always kept it to myself, because I always had all the stories that I wanted to tell.
I'm
like, boy, you're lying. You know that should never happen. But like, you know, I'd walk home and be like, yo, and then these seven dogs chase me, and then I'm like, nigga, nothing fucking changed you. You were just walking alone.
But a lot of kids need that, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I didn't understand that.
And you punished yourself for it.
Exactly. I was punching myself the whole time. Yeah. And I was never, you know, my pops was. My mom and my father had separated.
Yeah.
So I grew up, and I'd heard that my father was living in America and all of those things. I think it might have led me to actually go and study in America, because I wanted to follow him somehow.
That's right.
But you know, a little deep story was that for me, I made a even then I made a story because I couldn't put together why my father wasn't with me.
Right.
It was a coping mechanism.
It was a coping mechanism, exactly. So I was about 11, 12, 13, and I made the story up that my father was actually this American guy and he couldn't come back home.
That's great.
He couldn't come to South Africa. And I went with that story. Like, there's some people that went to Bryanston Primary that, like, believe that my dad was this American man. But that's what it was. And for me, I was saying, I'm like, dude, you're lying. But I didn't realize it was actually a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Because, like, I everybody was seeing their dads coming to soccer day and all that shit. I didn't have my dad coming through, but I had the story. So I believe, like, yo, dad would be here, but he hanging out with Will Smith and them, you know, they're out there partying.
Big thing, saving the world and
that's
shit.
That's what it was. So I kind of like played that for myself. And
that's
the strangest thing is that when I got a scholarship to go to film school in America, the first thing I did was find out where my dad worked and I went straight to the place.
And
I walked into the office and before I said anything, this lady said, yo, one
I know, dude. Yeah,
I'm like, crazy.
That's dope shit.
So it's kind of it's weird, you know. You just living your head, really.
That's insane. So I like that. I like that a lot because, you know, for me, that's also what I say a lot about like advertising people. You know, like you kind of go, like, how do you know you want to be a copywriter? How do you know you want to create these images? But it's actually exactly that. You know, like it's the guys that go guys, you always called I'll tell you where my sip.
Where my sip?
You're living in your head. You're living in your head and you're creating these stories.
And you keep trying to get these stories out and nobody's understanding what the fuck you're talking about.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that, you know, like with kind of the advent of things like stand up comedy, even, you know, like people have found a way to kind of start telling those stories, you know,
and
we're not. I just feel like we need to get better once again at telling people that it's okay. Just find your form of it, you know, and like kind of TV and or advertising, and you know what I mean. Like it's one of those places. Are there places where you can kind of go, I'm allowed to go out there and tell these fucking
I can tell
stories.
You that, like, the Ayeye, there's some scenes on Ayeye that lived in my head for, like, 5-6 years.
Insane.
Like, they lived in my head. Yeah. And I remember I wrote 2 or 3 of them down, and I sent it through. It was, like, kind of like how I got into Bob. Actually, Desiree said that she read this script that I wrote for Ayeye. It wasn't Ayeye then. It was, like, this drama series that I had in my head. And she said, off of that, she realized this guy knows how to tell a story. We just got to get him to a place where he can learn how to use that
story.
And I remember actually when we're in a story crisis in Ayeye, and so how are we going to do this thing? Desiree came back with that script. She's like, you see the script here, get this energy onto that page.
That's dope.
And we're going to get a show. And in fact, we wrote that scene into Ayeye. We shot it. It was so surreal for me being upset. Like the scene that had been in my head for like 5-6 years. And now I'm seeing it. It was a scene where Pops was taking a piss outside, and then his girl comes and flashes him and he pees on himself.
I've
been in my head for so long, and then we put on the paper and we shot. Get out of here.
That's insane, man. Yeah. Shout out to Ezra Makrav.
Yeah.
For unleashing the peace, unleashing the dragon, you know? Like Cisco said, unleash the dragon. But that's insane for me. So tell me what happens when you, like, I mean, you said you end up in you're in New York City.
LA.
And you kind of go, cool, that's it. I'm gonna go to film school.
Yeah.
And like now you're this guy from Bryanston slash Mabopane slash Africa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like how was that experience and how important was it for you to bring you to that?
It changed my whole life.
Yeah.
Because I walked in with a little bit of a dream.
Yeah.
I want to go and actually be a director on Generations.
That's
when I come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, director Generations. Yeah. When I come back, I'm
the biggest kid you can get.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, that's where I want to be at. And then I got there and I got lucky. You know, it's so strange. I met with a family here in Johannesburg. They were at a Nino's and they were talking and I could hear a guy accent, you know, these guys are American.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing? Actually, I'm also coming to America.
Yeah,
and we made friends and they were cool and they said, look, let's when you get over there, do you know anybody? I'm like, I don't know anybody. Where do you live? They live in LA. Shit, that's where
that's
I'm
exactly
going.
Great.
We'll pick you up from the airport. I'm like, fantastic. They picked me up from the airport. That network led me to meeting all my friends in LA.
You are kidding.
That took me as far as having a party at Denzel Washington's house. It was ridiculous, man. Yeah. At 21, like I got really lucky. I remember Tebogo Matlatsi used to mention this thing of people who've got narrative luck.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm one of those people. Like, what are the chances you meet some people in Nino's in Rosebank and you end up at Denzel Washington's house through those
amazing
connections? You know what I'm
that's
saying?
Really
like,
dope.
Like, I like that. I like that a lot.
Beautiful story.
Happened, yeah.
Yeah, man.
So,
tell us about Megan Good. This is
a perfect segue to the Megan Good story.
You're just wondering.
There's a Megan Good story.
It's a very bad Megan Good story. It's a terrible Megan Good story.
Yeah, what is it? What is it? What's
before,
Megan Good story?
Let me just give you context. Before I even met this kid,
yeah,
I heard this story about there's this guy. You won't believe what this guy did.
Bad Megan Good story. It's the bad.
Shout
Megan
out to
Good.
DJ Choice.
Oh, Choice is the one.
Yeah, Choice is the one who showed me like, ah, there's this dude.
Yeah. No, all right, tell me what happened.
All right, so there was like midterm.
I feel like I'm going to love the story.
There was midterm break.
Yeah.
Right? So I come home, jet lag and tutajo, yeah, you know, reconnect with my South African time, and then go back. When that's I come right. back, I'd made friends with another guy from also who I met through the Ninos family.
Yeah.
Who was on they the
have
show.
A name, one right?
Yes, the Chitties.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
James and Gail Chitty. Shout out.
That's to right. Shout out. Shout out. Shout out to. They're not just the Nino family. Yeah, they're the Chitties.
The Nino family. Yeah. And their son Nick was a year older than me, so we clicked immediately.
Yeah.
And he introduced me to his best friend. And his best friend was a guy that was on One on One. Remember?
Arnaz? Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Rashad. So him and I became friends as well.
I can see that though. I can see that though.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, long story short is that Robert Rashad is having a party at his house for the what you call for the Super Bowl, right?
Oh.
Now the party is happening the day that I land from home.
So jet lag is
like now I don't know nothing, right? Yeah. I don't know anything about this. I'm understand this jet lag thing. I'm trying to get this jet lag like anyway. So I land, I go home, I shower, we're going straight. I'm picking up some homies. I had a boy of mine from London called Nikki. Shout out Nikki. And
shout out Nikki, what's going on?
And so we go to this party at Robin's house. And a whole bunch of other celebrities are there, like young celebrities, like young Hollywood, young black Hollywood. And in the room comes Megan Good. I'm like, oh shit, fucking Megan Good. Like, oh, yo, Megan Good. So Rob is like, yo man, she's just, she, you know, we grew up together in LA. Yeah. Like, she's just like another girl here. So you know, it's like somebody rocking. Let me not say anything. It's like,
don't mention names.
So anyway, he says, so I've been drinking this time.
Yeah.
I'm drinking as fuck.
Yeah.
And
come on. Yeah. But like, out of sync.
Out of sync. I mean, South African time.
Yeah.
American alcohol.
It's somewhere in the Atlantic.
Yeah. So I'm in and out of consciousness, you know?
Yeah.
So eventually I get so fucking drunk. Whoa. And Robin introduces me to Megan. But this is the introduction to Megan, right?
Yeah.
Megan, this is my good friend. Right out of South Africa. He's out here to change the world, Megan.
Yeah.
My whole fucking house. You see this house? He's gonna build me a house. This house is gonna fit into my bathroom, Megan.
Yeah.
We're gonna make some crazy shit.
Yeah, that's
Megan.
An intro.
We're
that's
going
an
all
intro.
The way to the top. I'm looking, I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're talking about me. Like, bro, I'm in film school, bro. like why is this happening? So you know, he's kinda like putting me on kind of thing. But I don't think in a to hook up with her.
Yeah,
family, just to like, you know, this is a good guy. So anyway, all good. I meet Megan. I go outside and I make the fatal mistake because I'm now drunk.
Yeah.
And I'm jet lagged.
Yeah.
I go and smoke some weed.
Don't
smoke weed, guys. Weed is terrible. It's a bad combination.
Jet lag, alcohol, and weed.
After drinking
a lot.
Not just weed.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah, some of LA's best. Anyway, I go and sit down, and I'm feeling some type of way, like, whew, I'm actually kind of tired.
Oh, nah, I love it.
So I sit down, Megan comes over to me, and she asks me, what do I know about football? So, of course, I do the usual.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got football. Oh, you guys call it. Yeah.
You call it
like,
this,
it's so, like, it's like the cheesiest thing. You always fall into that trap. Yeah. Everybody does. We've got actual football.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You can see why ours is called football.
Because
we're actually kicking our feet. I think we've all done it this year.
Everybody's done that. So Megan says, well, let me teach you. So she's like, let me sit up. So she sits right next to me and she's about to teach me. Now, at this point, I'm thinking, maybe 30 seconds before that, I had made a decision that this might be my final resting place for the night. Like right here. She comes and tries to talk to me. All I remember,
you noticed I switched the music off, right?
I noticed.
Yeah.
All I remember is her saying something about first and downs and then you boy, blackout.
What's up?
This guy blacked out on Megan
Good. Gone. Gone.
You've got to be kidding me.
Blacked out on me.
You know what? You know what? I'm actually gonna celebrate that.
It got worse. It got worse, right? I got my boy Nicky, I was telling you about, from London. Yeah. So I get back to class and I'm coming up the stairs and I can hear in the class like just laughing. So I'm not even like, I'm thinking, nah, it couldn't be. Like, it couldn't be talking about me. It's my boy, right? As soon as I walk in, he goes, "Oi, there he is, gay boy. Tell me what you did last night."
There he is, gay boy. Tell me what you did last night.
And he's like, "You are so useless, man."
Oh, that's a fantastic story. You know what? I'm going to be saying I'm proud of you. You know, like, not a lot of people can say they passed out on men.
Jet lag.
It's your boy, G-Man the Ant-Man, guys. I keep telling you, I bring you the best stuff, guys. The best stories. Shit, you ain't never heard before. Shit, you can't even imagine. Episode two of G-Man the Ant-Man. But fuck, it's amazing, dude. So then all that is done. So you finish film school.
Yeah.
And do you head straight back to South Africa? Or do you hang out there for a little bit and try to see what happens there?
South Africa. I've always wanted to come back home. I've kind of always wanted to make South African stories that travel.
Yeah.
That's kind of been my thing. I've always wanted to kind of like, I want to do it from here.
That's right.
Like,
that's
I do want the Hollywood dream, but I want the South African Hollywood
that's
dream.
That's right.
I want to be competing with Iron Man, man.
Yeah. I mean,
like, from a South African standpoint. So,
And I mean, that's an interesting point that you make. Do you think that the South African dream or South African version of the South African version of the big dream exists now and has gotten better? Because like for example, right? I think what's happened is we're not making apartheid stories. We're not only making apartheid stories. And there was a time when our film industry was just...
There's a fucking cowboy western movie.
I mean, that shit looks good. That shit looks fucking good.
Shit, like, we're doing whatever the fuck.
Right? You know what I mean? And so do you feel like our version of the dream has become better? Do you feel like we're at a place now where it's we need to start inviting more people to start getting into what we do because we've gotten that much better?
We're exposed to more.
That's right.
The world is ours now.
Yeah.
You can't hide anything from us anymore.
That's right.
We know what the fuck people are doing.
Yeah.
If I know what some kid is doing in Israel making a movie, I'm like, the hell am I going to be like sitting in South Africa saying,
absolutely.
There's a Japanese kid from California.
Yeah.
Japanese American kid wrote, directed, shot.
I think I heard about
Beast of No Nation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is an African story right up the road. This guy wrote, directed, and shot it.
What do you want?
Like, guys are working, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now we can't be talking about, oh, no, man, when I get them. No. Guys are doing it themselves. You know, this kid, like, he shot a film in Mexico.
Yeah.
Now, you know, this thing of, like, Africans must make African stories. Yeah, like, this guy's Japanese. He's got no connection, first of all, to Latin America.
Yeah.
Or to West
to
Africa.
Beast of No Nation.
Beast of No Nation. Yeah. He's a Japanese-American kid. Grew up surfing, but because he's interested in a good story, he'll dive in. So this thing of like, Makua, white people can only tell white stories. No, get out of here, bro. Like, stop making excuses. Get up there and start making shit. Stop talking about how everybody's making our stories. You're not making them.
You didn't do it.
Somebody else do it then.
That's fucking crazy shit. That just made me warm in the chest area, man. Yeah. No, that's fucking cool. You know what? I hate how the time flies, man. We're almost out of time. Like, the hours just fucking flown by.
Gone.
You know, we actually haven't
gotten the last show took 5 minutes. Let's keep going.
Back into our show.
Yeah. No, but that's fucking amazing. Look, because you tell it, it's all truth. You know, like I said, we have the opportunity now to tell all types of stories.
Guys, we've got no limits, man. Like, the truth. Yeah. Look, I understand that there's opportunity, and it's also in hindsight, of course, I can say, because I've had the opportunity, but I didn't like create. I saw the gaps and I made and I went in there.
That's right.
You know, people make it seem like I jumped off a plane and went into Bump Productions. No. I sat outside Bump Productions for 6 months.
What?
I slept in my car.
Yeah.
Home was in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have a home over here. You know what I mean? Like, I slept in my car. I did whatever I could to get into Bump Productions.
You wanted it that badly.
I wanted it that badly. So it's not like I'm talking like, oh, yeah, you can be like, oh, well, you had all the opportunity. I didn't have all the opportunity. I made that shit. Like,
that's right.
I sat there and I said, guys, like, I'm not leaving here until you give me a job.
Man.
You can't now tell me, oh, no, we don't have opportunities. Of course, things are different, but hey. How long are you willing to sit outside?
But how badly do you want it?
How badly do you want it?
Yeah. What's your Bomb Productions? What's your sitting outside of Bomb Productions?
Exactly.
That's crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know what? And you know, I was about that. Normally at this time, I sort of ask you, like, you know, like, if you were some kid that like, you know, it's just about to get into film school now, right?
Yeah.
And what words would you like to hear right now? Like, I'm about to get into film school.
I'm joking. Go to school.
Why did you say go to film school and that?
No,
but like, you know, but also like, before we get into that though, so at which point do you kind of go, I'm starting 3D films.
Very good question.
Combination of things.
Yeah, a combination of a lot of things. I was in a very, very great job at BOM, working with incredibly talented people.
Right.
Possibly some of the best in the industry. I kind of had it all.
Yeah.
I didn't want for anything.
Still
live in the great neighborhood. They haven't taken me out yet.
they don't know you've changed jobs.
They don't know, yeah. They don't know. I live in a great neighborhood. I was able to travel, all those things.
Mm.
But there was something inside of me that felt like there's another hunger that can't be fed here.
Right.
And it's kind of time to go and explore how I can feed that.
That's right.
And it felt like walking out of comfort was possibly the beginning point.
Boom.
And comfort was bomb. Challenging, but comfortable. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, no matter how bad things got, I still got to check at the end of the day.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's strange. Some people, that's okay.
Yeah.
But for some people, there's a little hunger that just says...
That's not enough.
That's not enough. You know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't about money. It was also about... It was a personal thing. Because it's strange. Like, now that I'm outside of bomb, I'm having to be the person that has to... bring out the things in my division.
That's right.
Whereas at BOM,
kind of those things were taken care of.
We co-do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's an energy and there's something inside of me that's running. And
that's dope,
and
man.
But at the same time,
it's a driver.
I knew
it's a different kind of driver.
Exactly. And I knew that everything that I learned at BOM
would finally come.
Absolutely.
That's so dope.
And that's
man.
How it's all coming together. So I kinda like I caught up with Leanne, I caught up with Tabang, caught up with Nobuntu, my partner. Shout out to Siriti Films, my partner.
Shout out to Siriti Films.
Shout out to Jadi, shout out to Paul.
If anything, we need to have an entire Siriti Films show. It's coming.
Shout out to my whole Siriti family. And we kind of Kundai. How could I forget Kundai?
Yeah, that's what's up. Shout out Kundai. What's going on?
And we put this thing together and it's just been... Awesome.
Yeah,
like we started in July, and it's crazy the work.
You're
that's
absolutely
just
right, man.
Yeah, we're going, man. You know, we're going.
Stop.
We're going.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's
Cut.
Yeah, man.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
And we could do this for two entire hours.
Can we talk about the Granty
story?
No. Can we talk about the story?
We're out of time. Those mics are off. Guys, it's been an amazing show. Kutlani trying to cross the line in this bitch, and he forgets I'm in charge in this bitch, man. What the fuck? Anyway, it's been an amazing show. Keep quiet, cheese. You are in on this mess. I saw that. I'm quick, guys. But it's been an amazing show. Thank you so much to my guests for coming through. Thanks for cheese for making everything happen today as well. It's been a dope show. I can see, guys. Guys, Palisa is lining up Omunye Presgumunye. I mean, guys, how dope can this day get? How much more dope can this day get? But yeah, once again, guys, I mean, like I say every week, it's tough out there, man. But take care of yourselves, take care of those briefs, and most importantly, take care of each other. Because it does get pretty shitty out there, and it gets pretty heavy out there. At the same time, I think that, we're in that time right now. In fact, you know, because some of the shows coming up now in the next couple of weeks, it's going to happen. Because like I say, you know, If this show, well, you know, the tequila line, right? But in the next couple of weeks, some people are going to be having tequilas on this show. But it's your boy G-Man the App Man. And if the show is on a Friday, we'll be having a tequila. Boom!
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom!
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.